Well, hello, everybody, and happy last day of Unleavened Bread. And it's so good to have guests with us. It's good to see you. And nice to have the Dowds here. And it's also been a pleasure to have Bonnie and Neil be able to spend time with us. And now they're even together. So it's good to have you here, and we're so glad you could be with us. Let's begin by turning to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law? Your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out, and he spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he dawdled, it says lingered, but the title of this is "Dawdle Not." While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stray anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." I'm going to drop down to verse 26. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, today is not a discussion per se of our Christian life, or the race that we have set before us, though it could apply. This is not necessarily a discussion about enduring to the end, or about the day in and day out battles we fight, but you can be certain it would apply. This is a twofold reminder that God was and is our salvation, and He expects us to respond to Him with haste, with a sense of urgency. This is about what someone must do when God calls them away from something bad to something good. Lot hesitated to leave, yet his wife, who looked back, paid with her life. There was hesitation from husband and wife. But we could suggest that Lot, who was convinced the city would be destroyed, was simply hoping that his relatives would listen. I can just imagine him saying, just 5 more minutes. Just wait 5 more minutes. They'll come. They'll come. He, like his uncle Abraham, cared about other people. But let's look at why his wife was not saved. Let's go to Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. We get a little bit more of a picture of what might have been on her mind. You know, obviously, she did what she was told not to do. She was told not to look back, and she did. Verse 28, "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." A lot of repetition in history about how people respond to God. In that day, verse 31, "He who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away, because there's not going to be any time. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." So we can see that Lot's wife, you know, very well may have lived a decent life. She served her husband as a wife, and he is her husband, and they were building a family, and they were comfortable, and business was good. They may have been living the right way, but she liked where she was, and she didn't know where she was going. She wanted to keep the life she had, and she did not obey God. There's another story where Joseph, the son of Jacob, requested his father not delay moving to the land of Goshen, which is in Egypt, but to make haste because God had used Joseph to make that land a safe place for Israel to dwell. So we'll turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And pick up on that story. Starting in verse 44. I'm sorry, in verse 4. "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' So they came near. Then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have." A couple of the things that we see in these two examples, well, in this one specifically, we've got two reasons why this is important to make haste. In Jacob's case, in the family of Israel, in all of his 12 sons, they actually had to get to Egypt or they were going to starve. And they were of a mindset that we will work it out. We'll figure it out. We'll make a way. We'll hold on to what we have. We know what we have. And we don't, you know, we go into Egypt, that's not our land. You know, they're thinking this way. But if they did not do what God had prepared for them to do, they probably would have wasted away. And two, they are fulfilling, you are fulfilling, I am fulfilling God's will. God had prepared, you know, 400 years before, I'm sorry, for that point at Jacob's arrival in Egypt, there was exactly 430 years to the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. God had planned it to the day, and it was important that they come at the time that they were asked to come. These fulfill God's purpose in all of God's plan. These Days of Unleavened Bread are a premier example of a mighty ability to save, though we had no power to save ourselves. And it is our job to dawdle not, Don't hesitate, but follow him with diligence. We'll go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read part of that, starting in verse 33. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians, slaves for 400 years out of the 430, and they're rich in one day. Verse 37, then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. In other words, they couldn't make stews or grill a steak and take it along. All they had time to do was make unleavened bread. Israel knew they were slaves, and they knew they were miserable. They cried out for salvation to a God they had all but forgotten. The Lord, in his great mercy and according to his predetermined plan, set the stage so that they would not only leave Egypt a free people, but that they would need to leave quickly. Sin is something, once revealed to us by God, that must be left behind in haste, with due diligence in order to throw off its burdensome yoke. As we make haste towards God's saving power, God created a scenario that exposed sin for what it was, and he made an otherwise treacherous, even humanly impossible escape, a walk on dry land in the midst of a great sea. In the story of Lot, the story of Joseph and Jacob, and the story of Israel, the nation, we find it is God and only God who has the power to deliver his people from sin. It's God who exposes the sin and empowers us to escape its clutches. Like Lot, Jacob, and Israel, however, it is our job not to tarry when God urges us away from a bad situation to follow him. I just want to real quickly read a little scripture because it's encouraging. It deals with a part of this about God. And if you'll turn, you don't have to turn there, but Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. And verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. We Christians have God's favor not because we obey to appease him or fulfill our role in some mutual bargain. God's favor is on us who obey him out of a growing belief and trust in him. God's favor is on us who are eager to follow him who saved us from slavery and death. We haven't a chance to save ourselves from this world, but our victory is in the bag if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, obeying his commandments, worshiping God in spirit and truth. Praise God, our Father, and Jesus, our brother and King, for subduing our enemies and leading us daily in the safety of the way. Dawdle not, and experience the salvation of the Lord.